Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
We are back. This is Andy Petronic and
Michael Stanwyck, and we are here during, gosh, is this week three of the Advanced Challenge? And it's been a pretty interesting experience, I have to say, and I think that we've got a lot of feedback of the same, and we're hoping to answer some questions of yours tonight. Andy, do you want to share a little bit about – Andy and I were just talking, and then we got the signal that we were going to be on air in 5 seconds, so we shut up.
Yeah, we were talking about our experiences in the challenge, and it's funny because Sherry Delaney Miller posted a post on Facebook about 12 hours ago, and it's very timely because it's all on the topic that we wanted to talk about on this call. Like, how's the whole life challenge, how's the advanced challenge going? And yeah, I was just telling Michael that I've had a very interesting experience with the challenge. I've probably eaten worse on the advanced challenge than I have in any whole life challenge ever, whether I've been on performance or Kickstart. I agree with a lot of you that having only one point, you know, got to be all or nothing. Basically, I just give myself a pass because I know I'm going to lose a point, and then I just eat more bad stuff.
That's a really great thing. Finish what you're saying.
However, I'm getting a lot out of the challenge in other areas, and I wouldn't say that I'm not getting something out of that experience of seeing how I behave around this. It's a very, very different thing. So I don't think it's necessarily bad. It's just very different than the whole life challenge.
Yeah, I think the thing that I've realized during this advanced challenge, because we've changed some rules, but a lot of it's around the same stuff, is the games that we play, the whole life challenge and now the advanced challenge, are a context. So it changes the way that you see the choices that you make. And the challenge itself doesn't do anything to you. It's not like if once you sign up, you're going to lose weight or it's not going to do anything to you, but it's going to put you inside of a frame of mind to ask yourself questions differently. So like Andy was just saying, he's like, I ate worse. Congratulations. The challenge didn't make you eat better, but it actually causes you to notice and ask different questions about how you make food choices. I'm glad Andy brought it up right away, because one of the things I want to talk about was the all or nothing rule and how it was impacting people. Because, you know, a lot of people say, you know, once I lose the point, I just give myself a pass to have whatever I want. And the question you might want to ask yourself is, how do you treat yourself when you don't get credit and nobody's looking? Like, is that all of a sudden a reason to eat badly? Or to eat food that you know is not good for you, because you're not going to get credit, or nobody's going to congratulate you or pat you on the back for it. It's just a really powerful place to be. Not to make yourself wrong for it, not to think that you made a mistake, but I think the only mistake is not to step back and use it as a sort of a way to ask yourself questions.
Yeah, it's really the same thing that you learn from a very young age about integrity. You know, integrity is the thing. One of the definitions that I've heard of integrity is the things you do when nobody's looking. Your bond, whether you're around other people or not, whether somebody else is holding you accountable or not. And I found that I have an integrity challenge. I have an integrity problem around food and holding myself to it when I don't have the structure and the accountability of a point system that has been very helpful for me over the years of doing the whole life challenge.
But one of the things that I've gotten out of this all or nothing rule, it's almost the opposite. You know, having done as many whole life challenges as I have, like I gotta say, and I'm not saying this because it's our thing. Doing the whole life challenge as many times as we have has changed my life. It would be silly to say I've done something 10 times and it hasn't changed my life, but it totally changed my life, and I've gotten to realize it in the context of this challenge, because I have the same reactions everybody else does. Like, I lose that one point. Like, I sit down, I'm at lunch, I'm having a burger, and I'm like, okay, well, there goes that point for the day. And I might say, well, in that case, maybe I'll have a beer with lunch. But I don't. But then I don't. Then I go back and I have a normal dinner. I have a normal compliant dinner. Like, I've started to see my ability to not justify what I'm doing, but to kind of put it all in context and not let one mistake mean it's all over or that I get a free pass for the day. Nobody's watching me. Nobody's watching you either, Andy. Nobody's looking ever. Honestly.
No. Right. So right. I'm looking.
So it's like, you know, I've actually realized how much I can count on myself to make really good choices that support where I am today, where I want to end up tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now. You know, I was in physical therapy this morning for my shoulder, and there was a guy next to me. He's an old guy. I don't know how old he was, but, like, there was a lot physically impaired about his body. He couldn't move very well. He was in the therapy for some surgery he had had, and I looked and I thought, God, that is what I want to avoid. I want to be moving comparably well to how I am today when I'm 80. Is that possible? If it is, this is the loyalty I have to myself. It's not about anybody else looking, and I'm actually learning that in this challenge. I have this degree of loyalty to myself that doesn't preclude me from having a good time or drinking a beer or having a burger or enjoying the summer. Like, it's not a failure. It's actually a success to be able to set the context for yourself and live into that. And that's what I'm really getting out of it.
That's cool. That's really cool. I think I'm getting something similar, but I haven't been as what I would call successful at navigating the potholes. And I have given myself a pass pretty frequently in and around the food that I eat. But the other piece of the nutrition part that's a challenge for me is writing stuff down. And I have been very on top of that for the first 2 weeks of the challenge. And it's just so happened that, I don't know, over the past 3 days, I don't think I've kept any kind of journal. And I feel very like I'm missing something. I was trying to think of, well, can I go back and replicate or rebuild the days I've lost, and I just can't think back far enough to do that.
Yeah.
And I was actually enjoying. I've actually been enjoying doing it, even though it is a pain in the butt. I've played around with different methods. I was using Evernote and creating a new entry for each day, and then I decided that was a hassle for me, so I just started OneNote and just was keeping a running note. And I added things in like my workout and my meditation and other stuff. So it wasn't just a food journal. It was kind of like my well-being journal. And I'm actually enjoying doing that. It's hard.
Yeah, I'll give you a little tip for that. I don't know if this matters to you or not, because I have a very similar thing. I do a note for every week, so I don't just have one forever running note. But I put the newest day at the top.
Right.
So
that's what I've been doing. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I found that. And I'm not scrolling and scrolling and oops, I duplicated the note. Now I have to find where I am. But I do find actually going through my food journal the next day when I record my score kind of helps me relive the day. Like it gives I remember sitting to lunch with that person and eating that. Oh, I remember I was out with friends when I had that. And it's like, it actually helps me frame my experiences as well. You know, that's what I like about the journaling part, because I've written down a lot of time what I eat, but I don't ever go back. And because of the challenge, I have to go back every day and check. And so, well, what was yesterday like? And it just helps me to relive the experience.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we started this, Andy, and we came up with our version of what advanced meant, you know, if people were to look at the rules for this challenge versus the whole life challenge, a lot of people might say, well, except for the food journal, which is kind of annoying, this is almost easier than the whole life challenge. There's less to attend to, fewer items. You know, and what makes this advanced? And I've thought about it over the last couple of days, and I've realized it's not the challenge, it's you. Like, it's the participant that's advanced. And because you're advanced, because other people have been saying, I found the 8-week one easier, or I liked it better. And I think it's because the 8-week one gives you a very clear framework, expects less of you. And the advanced challenge expects more of you because you have said, I am advanced. I want more challenge, and I am advanced. And so the challenge is, okay, great. What can we expect of you? And then we start dealing with things like, well, if I lose one point, I say, screw it. Let's just make today a day. And I think that's really the experience that maybe some people are having about, like, not liking this. It asks a lot of you.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. My experience is shifting. The first week for me was very, I hesitate to say easy, but I had no problems the first week of the advanced challenge. In fact, except for that I was not compliant with food on any day of the week, I was regularly getting 8 points a day. It got a little tougher in the middle of the second week, and then the wheels fell off this past weekend, basically. Like, I stopped meditating as consistently. My sleep has been, you know, I started another, I went back to staying up a little bit later. I've learned, one of the big things I've learned with my sleep is the later I go to bed, the worse I'm set up for a good day the following day. And the impact is really tremendous on my life. If I go to bed after 10 o'clock, it just, you know, because that usually happens consistently, and then I can't sleep late, and I get up and I'm not firing on all 10 cylinders, or I don't get up early enough. Like, I really like getting up 30 to 45 minutes before my family wakes up, and getting some reading in, getting my meditation in before, you know, literally all hell breaks loose. And I don't get to do that, so I feel behind from the beginning of the day.
Yeah, I think the sleep has been the hardest for me to be, like, consistently successful at getting both points. That's
right,
been rough.
Right. Yeah, no,
but
I think it's not rough for me as long as I get to bed by 10. Because if I get to bed by 10, I'm getting more sleep than normal. I will invariably get 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep, which is my first point. I always wake up before my alarm clock when that happens, and because I've gotten enough sleep, and I feel great. But it's having the discipline at night to not get tricked into, God, it feels good to stay up. God, I want to watch one more episode of this show. God, I want to play my guitar for another 45 minutes or 30 minutes or 20 minutes. Or, boy, I'd like to finish up some of that work that I was working on earlier to get it done before tomorrow. And it's like this tractor beam that has such a strong pull. I'm not even staying up that late. It's not like I'm staying up till 2
right.
in the morning.
It's like an extra 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's where it kills me, because 15 minutes or 20 minutes usually turns into an hour. And an hour kills me. 15 or 20 minutes isn't so bad.
Well, I've actually learned, like, because I think for me there's a strong difference between 10 and like 10, 15, 10, 20. If I get to bed by 10, it's a really good night's sleep. If I start going to bed at 10:20, 10:30, you know, I don't fall asleep right away. I'm actually sleeping a little bit worse now because there's some pain in my shoulder. And, you know, it's really hit or miss whether or not I'm going to wake up before my alarm clock. And even if I wake up before my alarm clock, I'm not exactly sure why. Like, does my shoulder hurt? It's hard to really say. I got one of those sunrise alarm clocks, you know, that kind of gently lights up your room, starting a little bit before your... Well, you know, it's totally useless if your room is not blacked out. Totally useless. the sun is so much more powerful than the alarm clock. So now I just have this alarm clock that when I wake up, my nightstand light is on. That's all I really got.
Or you gotta make sure that it's turning on way, way, way earlier so that it's still dark out when it turns on.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get up at like 5:30.
Well, yeah, okay.
Just to prove my alarm works. What I really needed to start with was the blackout curtains, but I didn't go that route. But yeah, it's been really the sleep thing has been a hard thing to crack the code on. like, and I'm not pissed. You know, it's like I'm not right. earning the point, but I've learned a couple things about how I sleep and when I sleep and getting myself to go to bed and all that kind of stuff. You know, and that's why I lose a point on sleep almost every day, because it's, you know, I take some action. Sometimes, you know, my action is usually going to bed half an hour earlier, so going to bed before 10 o'clock. Once I don't do that, like I don't have another card to play. So I usually I'll lose that point as well. But I do find that this challenge has been I don't have a better word for it. It's been kind of groovy. I really like this. Oh, I got a little reminder to do this. Oh yeah, I've got a little reminder to do that. All these things that I like to do. It's like I don't know, it fits me well. And I know that a lot of people are finding it for whatever reason. I wish they would call in. You know, there are a lot of people who commented on Facebook today. Some people said this has been very hard. They're not motivated. And I would love to talk with some people about what seems so hard about this challenge. And I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah, not to make them wrong or just to find out what's the experience like. Because it's different for us, obviously, than it is for other people. We're all different.
And if we knew what people were struggling with specifically, I mean, that would give us a little bit of intelligence on maybe how to maybe make adjustments to the challenge, or what to give you guys to support you throughout the challenge, like what tools we could, what suggestions we could make, how we could tweak the rules a little bit. But there are definitely people who are struggling, and I think, you know, different from you, Andy.
I got an idea. Do you think so? There are three people right now who have called in to listen. Do you think they'd be upset if we just put them on?
I don't know.
I think we just lost one. Uh-oh. Okay, we're not going to put them on.
Well, how about this? Hey, Lauren, our producer, could you jump back on the line with those folks and see if now that they've been listening for a minute, they have something that they may want to ask? Because there may be something I can't hear their thoughts. So check in with them and see if they. Yeah. So, you know, I think some of the struggle is not necessarily with the rules. Like, if you step back for a second and think, what am I struggling with? Like losing your nutrition point. That's not a struggle. It's on or off. Like, I did or I didn't. I think where people struggle is the judgment of themselves for not succeeding in the way they envision success to be. And, like, what I hear from you, Andy, is, like, your vision of success has nothing to do with the number of points you submit every day. It's what you're learning by submitting points every day or by taking the actions every day. So absent anybody actually telling me what they're struggling with, I would suggest that what you're struggling with is the judgment that you have of your success. And if you're not successful in the way that you imagined it would happen, you're now upset, angry, struggling. We do have someone, Andy. We have someone.
We do?
Andrea. We do? Andrea wants to talk. I'm pulling her in. You ready for this?
Oh, fantastic. Of course I'm ready. I was born ready.
All right. Hang on. Andrea,
hey,
this
guys.
Is Michael. Hey. How you doing?
Yes. I'm great. How are you?
We are doing
good.
Fantastic.
Awesome. So I've been listening to the whole show, and I agree with a lot of what you guys are both sharing, but especially what Andy said toward the beginning, when with the 1 point for nutrition compliance, I find that the 5-point structure of the basic whole life challenge was a great framework for me to make conscious and deliberate choices about, you know, when am I going to let some feta cheese, you know, sneak onto my salad. But in this advanced version with just the 1 point, I find that if my willpower just turns to mush once I've lost the 1 point. It's like, you know, it's just so hard to resist that piece of chocolate cake when I've already had, you know, the cheese.
Let me ask you, Martha. What did you think? What did you think about, you know, because I know Andy said that earlier about it, and one of the things that we were talking about was, like, why do you think it turns to mush? Like, what's the value of a point to you versus, like, the kind of choice you would make if you still had the point? Why do you suspect that it's more valuable to get the score than actually kind of I don't want to say you don't have integrity, but that's the word that Andy used, but have, like, your choices have the integrity of your intention with the challenge.
I think for me is in the context of the game, you know, it's a set period of time, you know,
yeah.
1 month or 8 weeks, whatever it is. It's like, okay, I can build a good habit here by making these little choices. So it's more about building the consistency of the habit. Whereas once that's what the points serve for me, is building up the habit, like having a sort of a little internal goal to go for and then to build the habit that way. Whereas it reverts back to being a never ending, you know, no break in sight sort of rule if I'm not using the points to kind of motivate myself.
Sure. Well, what if,
Andrew,
what if you
let me ask you, let me ask you a question. Is your
yeah.
What is your experience like after the regular Whole Life Challenge? Like, have you done a few challenges, or did you just do the spring challenge? And what do you revert back to?
The spring was my first one.
Okay.
Well,
so
the spring was my first one, and I kept up with most of it. I've been, you know, really good about keeping up with most of it, and the advanced one has taken me up to a new level in terms of my meditation and my exercise in particular, where the basic challenge kind of helped me build the habit, and then the advanced one has taken me to a new level on the meditation and the exercise, but for the food, it's been harder for me.
So the food is kind of a step... is it a step backwards, or is it about the same as it was after the Whole Life Challenge, when you finished the Whole Life Challenge?
It's actually been a step backwards, because after the Spring Whole Life Challenge, I was still being really compliant almost all the time, just because I felt good that way. And then in the advanced one, it was sort of like maybe like a kind of like an internal temper tantrum. It's like, well, if I'm going to lose this point, well, then I'm going to have the chocolate cake.
Right.
That's a really great realization, don't you think? Like, you're actually acknowledging that, no, I'm throwing a fit here.
That's very true. It's like, who am I punishing here? It's like, well, darn it, this game.
Right.
I lost to the point,
right.
Therefore I'm going to have cake. You know?
Right.
Yeah, so...
Well,
what if the game
for you, it was not necessarily, so you've got the basics, which is like, I have 2 points. If I journal, I get one. If I stay compliant, I get one. But now once you lose the one, what if the game becomes, can I just lose the 1 point for one thing? Like, you know, try it for a couple of days. Like, if I, my new game is, if I lose the point, I would like to stay compliant just for today. Not for the rest of the challenge, but just for today, and see where that gets you. Because that's another—it's just a way to add maybe like a little rule for yourself. It seems like is your challenge. Once I lose the point, how do I behave?
Well, that's a really good suggestion, because I have recently had success with that one. Because the other problem I've had with the advanced challenge is once I lose the points for sleep, which I often do because my husband's alarm goes off before mine does.
Mm-hmm.
Just lose sleep before I'm even out of bed. But then I've recently had success with, okay, well, I'm going to go for the full points on every other category, despite the fact that I've already lost it on sleep. So adding that new component to the food concept, you know, still being compliant just for my own health and feeling good sake, despite having lost the point, is a... Yeah, I can experiment with that.
Andrea, is this
like,
the Andrea that I know that's on my team? Is this I don't
yes.
want to say your last name in case you don't want me to, but
yes.
You're one of my buddies from USM. We just graduated from the we haven't graduated yet. Andrea and I know each other from the University of Santa Monica Professional Soul Centered Coaches Program. And you're on my
team, hold that back, Andrea.
What was that?
Way to hold that back on us. Come on.
Well, sorry. I guess I assumed that you knew who I was, but
I was like Andrea, and then I'm listening to your voice, and I'm thinking it's too close. And then when I heard you mention your husband and the alarm clock, I've seen you writing about that in the reflection feed. So I was like, okay, it's got to be Andrea.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm so glad you called in.
Yeah, I've been listening to the whole show, and then Spirit had me lose my cellular connection, so I had to call back, and then I went, well, okay, I'll ask my question.
But you know what's so funny?
that was
right the moment that I said maybe we should just bring somebody in, and I think we lost you, and then you called back. So
that's so really, somebody ran.
Somebody hung up somebody ran away because I said I was going to pull him in.
Yeah, really. No, I'm happy to be a guinea pig.
Well, we really appreciate it because, I mean, this kind of stuff, I think it's going to benefit everybody. And, like, to actually ask yourself, why would you trade feeling good for, like, a temper tantrum?
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
Yeah.
It's a great point. I never really thought about it as a little internal temper tantrum until you were asking me the question, so...
I really relate to what you're going through because I think I'm having the same type of temper tantrums, and I'm gonna relook at that. It's definitely not effective, and I'm fully engaged. I mean, I love what you said about the rest of the challenge because I feel great having done what I've done in the Whole Life Challenge so far. I've successfully meditated. Jeez, more days than I've ever done on my own in my entire life over the past two and a half weeks. So, you know, some things are definitely different for me than they were when they started. And I definitely hear what you're saying about the food part.
Yeah. And it's been good for me because it's called me to a new level on exercise because it's like, okay, well, where can I push myself? And that's been great too. So
that's really great.
Very cool.
Thank you for guinea pigging yourself because now it looks like a bunch of other
willing participants
callers have shown up.
Yeah.
So,
fantastic.
So would you like to put
let
you back
on
hold so you can keep listening?
Please do.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thanks, Andrea.
Sure thing.
All right.
Talk to you later.
So it looks like we got Steve here. Steve was someone who also was going to just listen. But he has also been moved to share. So let's bring Steve on the line and see what's going on. What's up, Steve?
Oh, good afternoon. I wanted to share, I don't know how many callers are on the phone, but this is my second challenge. I did it with a group at my gym in January. And the hype prior to it starting, there were flyers and the team captain was talking about it. It was a great buzz. It was after the holidays. And I got through the first challenge very well, and I've given up drinking, although I was not a big drinker before. I have food allergy issues, and I was going through the challenge and eliminating quite a bit of things just sort of solidified where I needed to be. To make a long story short, I feel the best that I ever have. But this go around, what's interesting is I'm alone. Nobody else in my gym went for this challenge. So all the talk around it and the buzz and the sharing and the camaraderie, I don't have anybody to share it with this go around. That's probably, I guess I'm feeling a little bit alone. So that's sort of what I'm dealing with.
Yeah,
well, that's
an interesting point. You know, getting the context of community in this challenge, and it's something that we try to communicate, you know, the best we can on the website, but it makes such a difference to have one person or two people or, you know, five people or, like in the case of your gym, participating alongside of you. It's something I learned accidentally, I think, back when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, going through boot camp is not something you ever want to do by yourself. going through it with 40, 50, you know, 150 other Marines makes it actually tolerable and make doable. And in a strange way, I think it kind of set me up for creating an event with Michael that requires community, because it leaning on other people who are going through those kind of transformational changes makes such a major difference. Doing it on your own is tough.
And I want to say, like, good on you for sticking to it, because it is tough. And, you know, being in the third week and hearing that you're still in it, like, that takes a real commitment to yourself. So, like, kudos to you for being a part of it. But, like,
well,
I missed it
when it was not on, and ironically, when it ended the first time, I continued, like, maybe a week after in the, you know, with everything that I needed to, when it came to the food. And it was almost like I didn't want to go back to the other side, if you will. And I mean, and I didn't, like, go overboard once it was over or any of that. But, you know, I'm much more aware now, of course. And that really was kind of the point of it. But the bottom line is, I feel the best I've ever felt, and I'm 58 years old. So when people say, how are you? I say, I feel great. You know, it's true. And they can tell that, you know, I feel great, you know, and I look great and all of that. And that's sort of the validation. But again, as we've discussed this process and the analogy that you gave of boot camp and Marines, and again, it's that camaraderie, it's perfectly understandable. So what I'm hoping is there's going to be another challenge in the fall, and I've discussed this with my trainer, that perhaps more people will come back and we can do it as a group and have that sharing experience.
Yeah, well, what I would say to you, Steve, is like, because when I hear you say, like, you're sharing with people say, how are you? And you say, I am great. Like, I just want to let you know, you are the seed of something in your community. Whoever's asking you how you're doing and getting that kind of response from you is an inspirational act. So, like, you may not have a community of people surrounding you right now, but I want you to know that you are a part of creating a community that really is what the Whole Life Challenge is all about. So, like, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Like, keep spreading how, you know, what your life is like. Not telling people about the Whole Life Challenge, but just sharing you.
Because most people are miserable and they're not feeling well,
right,
and they're just all stressed out. And I'm thinking, but this is no way to go through life. You can get a hold of it. You can get a hold of yourself and take control. And there's always going to be external forces, but nevertheless, your outlook will be completely different. You won't be so stressed out. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Keep sharing you, Steve. And please, jump in. You know, are you a part of our Facebook group on Facebook?
I'm of the generation that doesn't Facebook.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry.
I understand. If you were willing to give it a try, we've got like a 2,500 person Facebook group, and it's, you know, it's people who are currently in the challenge, and they're talking about stuff, and they're sharing recipes and experiences and all that kind of stuff. But also, you know, never be afraid to join a team that's got like 30 or 40 people on it, and just jump in. Nobody's going to say no to you. It'll give you some sense of being a part of what's going on with other people.
Okay.
All right,
yeah. Well, I appreciate it. When the call started coming through in the conversation, I wanted to be able to share what's happened for me, and hopefully that will be some inspiration to whoever else is listening on the call with some of the issues that they're dealing with. It's just good to conquer it and come out a victor. Anyway, thank you.
Okay,
thank
great.
You so much,
thank
Steve.
You so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Should we bring, you know, it looks like Martha.
Martha, yeah.
You want to bring Martha in? Did we talk to Martha on the last call? Is that the same Martha?
I won't know without asking her.
We'll find out in a second. Here we go.
All right.
Hi.
Martha,
hey. Are you the same Martha?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good.
Oh,
I'm new,
wow.
Martha. Okay.
It's
an odd name to have.
So what's up?
Obviously, not that odd.
I've done the show I've challenged before a couple of times with a whole group, and this is very different experience. And here's my three things. I'm finding I'm more relaxed with it. I'm giving myself more permission, and I also am more responsible, which is the most unusual experience. The best way I can say it is it's like relaxing into what's natural and, for the most part, already normal for me, the way I eat and the way I sleep and the way I meditate. But I had an experience where I was at the Apple store and in Thousand Oaks, and I walked across and walked right into See's Candy. I don't ever eat See's Candy. I bought six pieces. I'm driving home. I'm on the fifth piece. Really, this is so funny. And I went, honey, we're in the Whole Life Challenge. We don't eat sugar. But it was inside of me. I just started laughing. Not upset. That. I just said, this is really great because I don't eat sugar. And so for me, it was just like it opened up a whole space. And I love that I'm tracking these four things that are very simple, and it lets me know if I'm on track or off track. And it's quite lovely, actually. I'm really appreciating it.
So would you agree with me that it's groovy? Like my experience is that it's groovy. It's like this thing that just fits really nicely.
Yeah, exactly. And I naturally wake up without the alarm clock, and I'm really liking that. And I've been going to bed earlier. And I did it mainly because my meditation was off a little bit. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's just do this and get back on track. So it's been really a blessing for me, and I'm grateful for the simplicity of it.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That's really
great. And writing things down, I've been doing that. Really, that's the one thing I've been doing, and I went, wow, my diet's pretty darn good. Like, it's really good. So I'm happy about that. So I'm just, thank you guys. Thank you for doing
Martha, when you played the Whole Life Challenge, what was your experience like, and how has this continued or changed, and are you planning on doing the next Whole Life Challenge also? I'm just curious.
I don't know yet. I kind of wait and see if it lines up in spirit for me, like in the moment. But I was part of a group, and it was fun being with the people and doing the comments. Right now I'm doing it with one other person, and so we kind of talk, without even really being on the computer. But I found myself much more competitive in the Whole Life Challenge. So this time I'm more with myself and competing with myself, which is very different, which I kind of liked.
Right.
But I like the support from other people. And also, if you're already eating this way and my life is pretty much this way, sometimes I feel like I really need to do it more for me than, in a group. But I appreciated supporting other people in the process.
Well, I agree with you. Like, I sometimes I kind of disappear a little bit on my own and just do my thing. But when I get to get in, I get to support other people. To be honest, I didn't have a lot of people around me in my life who were doing it. It's funny. My mom's done the last couple Whole Life Challenges, and she kind of hemmed and hawed about this one until it was too late. She's like, oh, well, I guess I missed it.
Oh, well.
I just jumped on a big team. There was a team of, 20-something people or 30-something people, and I was like, well, that's a good enough place to be. I actually turned out that I knew a couple of them. I'm not sure how I found the team.
Uh-huh. But, that's a great idea.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been really cool to just see other people's experience and throw them a little kudos when it's appropriate, a little help when they need it. It's just a good way to get more out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm also a USM grad, but many years ago, and then I used to work there, so it's quite a little group you have here.
Wow.
Well,
that's
years
really cool.
ago, in the
really,
80s,
really cool.
90s, yeah. Well,
what
thank
do you know
so
about
much.
That?
I know.
Yeah, you're
small
we know
world.
About that, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Martha,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate you calling and sharing your insights, and hopefully it serves as an inspiration for other people.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Martha.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's funny, Andy, that we've had a couple of USMers come through on the call. And for those of you who don't know, Andy and I have both done lots of different kinds of work over the years, and a lot of the Whole Life Challenge and what's become of the Whole Life Challenge has come out of our own personal experiences and our work as coaches, our work on ourselves. And, I've done a particular kind of work, and Andy's done a particular kind of work, and they've been very different. And I always goof on Andy for the work that he's done because it's so different from mine. But but I have to say, I do. I'm merciless. I'm so, and he takes it like a champ because apparently that's the work he's done. I do have to say, like, you know, my work has been very much around accountability, like doing what you said you were going to do because you said you were going to do it, and a lot of the sort of the rigid structure of I think the original Whole Life Challenge stemmed out of that kind of work, but truly the openness, the kind of the forgiveness, the non-judgment of yourself that has really kind of infused the challenge and made it, like, giving people more joy really stems out of a lot of the work that Andy's done. And I have to say, like, I am in this challenge in the last – I am actually really starting to experience that for myself, that kind of joy. And this has changed who I am. It's changed my life. A lot of stuff has happened in the last couple of weeks in my life, and I can attribute it probably to the work that we're doing and just where I am. But – like, I just got to say, Andy, the stuff that you have brought over the last year, the stuff you forced me to accept in the Whole Life Challenge that I didn't want to accept about, like, self-forgiveness and really non-judgmentalism because it didn't line up with accountability and doing what you said you were going to do has been a real blessing. And I just want to thank you for what you bring.
Wow. Thank you, Michael. I wasn't expecting a public acknowledgement of that right now. I don't know how to respond other than to say, I mean, look, I wouldn't be able to do that with just anyone. So it's really a testament to your openness and your willingness to partner with someone who doesn't necessarily walk in lockstep. And that makes our relationship makes it productive because we get two sets of eyes on everything, but it also makes it challenging. And, I think the entire Whole Life Challenge and the Whole Life Challenge world and the community that we've built around it is the beneficiaries of both elements, both parts.
I agree. I think it's really exciting. And I think, you know, the Advanced Challenge, however it goes and however it stays the way that it is and however we may change it for the next time that we do it, it's just a really exciting evolution of what got started a couple of years ago or a few years ago back at CrossFit LA with the Whole Life Challenge. You know, for those of you who don't know our story, this was not a thing. Like, Andy and I weren't like, let's start a business with a challenge. Like, we did a thing at the gym, and it really helped people, and it helped their friends, and it helped their family, and as a result, we shared it with other gyms, and it helped their friends, and it helped their family, and we were like, wow, we've got something great. And, you know, being able to do that and then evolve into something different and something that can help people grow more than the original Whole Life Challenge. So it's been really exciting for us, and we really appreciate all of the people who call in and all of the experiences that you guys are having, whether they're negative or positive or struggles or successes. Like, it's all a part of it. Everything that happens shapes. I mean, the people's struggles shape the Whole Life Challenge as much as people's successes do. So, like,
yeah,
one of the
comments on the Facebook thread is about whether or not we'll use the experience of the people that are participating and or struggling and or doing well to shape future challenges. And one of the cool things about what we are doing and we get to do is we get to sit back and invent new stuff and invent new challenges and tweak the challenges that we have and listen to the community and talk to people about their both positive and negative and productive and non-productive and life-changing and not so life-changing experiences. And, you know, we are all about creating more ways for the world to experience who they really are through taking action every day. And, whether that occurs in an Advanced Whole Life Challenge or in a, you know, small, in a different version of a short challenge that I can't really talk about because we haven't come up with it yet. But I just feel so grateful that this is what I get to do and think about and play with and tweak and build. And we couldn't do it without everybody that's part of the world doing it with us. You know, it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
And the truth is, we're not jerks. Of course, we'll take people's experience into consideration. Like, you know, Andy and I, when we were first doing this, we were like, "How do we get?" I could tell we were both in the mindset of, "How do we get this right? How do we do this perfectly? What should this rule be? What should that rule be? What should this rule be?" And we were changing it all the time. And finally, we just said, "We have to do something." And there's no way of knowing whether it's going to be perfect or right or need to be changed or not. So, like, this is an experiment, and it was the best one that we could come up with to try it with you guys. And not to say that, like, we're just testing our crazy ideas out on you, but this was what we thought would be impactful. And we will take all of the consideration and all of the struggles and all of the successes and reformulate the challenge to what it needs to be to get the best results for everybody. We're not going to make it easy. We're in this to get the best results for you. And sometimes that means going through stuff that sucks, that you don't like, that you can't work out right away. That's how we grow. And so I'm super excited about all that.
Me as well. So let's see, advanced challenge. Is there anything that you've got more to share about your experience in the advanced challenge, or anything you want to share with me or our audience? Or,
I've pretty much given you guys what I've gotten out of the last 2.5 weeks.
I got a question. I got a question for you. What's it been like to evaluate your exercise? Have you ever given yourself given yourself one point but not the second point?
That is great. I'm glad you brought that up, because I know that was a question for a lot of people. This the appropriate and effective rule. And, you know, I have to say, I have given myself a 2 every day, not out of, like, lack of thinking, but, you know, for a lot of you who are just doing this challenge, they didn't do the spring challenge, you don't know, I tore my rotator cuff and I tore my labrum and I had shoulder surgery back in May. And that really limited the kind of workouts that I could do. I couldn't pick anything up. I really even couldn't put a barbell on my shoulder. So I've been really semi-limited in what I can do. And before the challenge started, I started working in a strongman community, started working out, because they have all sorts of weird toys and tools and things that I can just strap to my body and drag around. And I did that pretty intensely, like 5 days a week for a few weeks, for almost a month. And right before the challenge started, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was like, I was working my legs every day, and I was biking everywhere. And so when the challenge hit, I had a very clear idea of how much I could really work out in the gym and what I could do to supplement that workout on the days that I wasn't. I now commute to work every day on my bike. And it's not, I don't commute leisurely. I can't do anything halfway. So I get on my bike and I race myself to work. You know, and like to me, it's a great combination of getting to the gym, doing the training, like the structured training that I know I need to strengthen myself for the things that I love to do, like ride my bike or, you know, go to the beach on the weekend, just so I feel fit and able and strong. And when I go out and do those things that I do because I'm fit and able and strong, most of the times, you know, if they're activities, like I count that as an appropriate. Whoa! You dropped Andy?
I'm here.
Oh, I count it as an appropriate and an effective workout, because, like, effective for me means it's a mindset issue at this point in my life. Like, am I treating myself in a way that's going to be sustainable? Am I going to want to keep doing this into the future, or am I doing it in a way that would just have me burn out and quit?
Right.
But appropriate for me means, look, I've only got my legs right now, so I can only do so much. I've actually gotten into a little yoga starting last weekend, which is great, because I'm like 10 weeks post surgery and I can put a little pressure on my shoulder. So it's been cool to see what that looks like for me. I haven't blown off any day. Every day has been a real consideration of, is the activity that I'm doing today appropriate and effective?
That's very, very cool. I haven't had a two every day, but the days that I've given myself a one, I have, most of the time it's been because I was active, but I could have done, I made a conscious choice to not do something more that I could have done. Like I went to the ballpark and coached kids' baseball practice, and then I worked some in the batting cages with kids. Now, for some people that might be exercise. For me, it is exercise. It does count for me as being active and doing exercise, and it is a nice recovery day for me. But the times I've given myself ones for that has been because I definitely could have done something else and something more. There hasn't been an occasion where I've done too much, where I've like worked out too many days in a row and gone too intensely or injured myself or something, you know, I haven't had to give myself a one for going too hard. But it's been a good, you know, it's been a, I mean, that for me isn't as big a challenge in this challenge. I, you know, twos or ones, I'm pretty used to giving myself, being gentle with myself when I need to be gentle with myself.
Right. Yeah. And you know, there are going to be parts of this challenge that are just no-brainers for some people. You know, there are people who meditate every day. I meditate on a practical level every day, like for the last year and a half. So doing this is pretty routine. Doing that part is pretty routine for me.
Right.
But other, you know.
Yeah, that's been a huge breakthrough for me. I mean, that's, I've never, even, you know, when I used to sit, I used to practice regularly at a Zen center in Santa Monica, and I would sit 3 days a week for an hour, usually at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the minute I tried to do any meditation on my own at my house, I just wouldn't ever do it. And this challenge is the first time ever I've been able to string together more than, like, one day of meditating in a row. And I've managed, my longest streak in the challenge so far has been 9 days, which is just like a huge, huge breakthrough for me. So it's been really, really fun to be able to even if that's all I got from doing the challenge, that's been a major, major improvement for me.
Yeah, what I think the biggest thing that I can take away, and then maybe I think, sounds like we're kind of coming to the end of the call, this challenge has given me the lens to notice that I really enjoy my life. Like, you know, it's not so hard or so detailed that I'm just focusing on getting the things done, but it's detailed enough and it's structured enough to give me a framework to look at every day and go, gosh, I really just, you know, I don't, and I can't tell you exactly why, because the pieces themselves don't necessarily give you that, but like, putting myself in the mindset of developing the, you know, myself, it's just given me a context for really enjoying my life. And that for me is just, that's a huge payoff.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well, I think we should call. I don't think we're getting any more callers this afternoon. And we really appreciate those of you that had the courage to make your voices heard. Thank you so much. And hopefully as we do more of these calls, in the Whole Life Challenge, we will get participation, because it really makes a difference for people out there that are listening into the call, and it really helps us as well. So we really appreciate those of you, Martha, Steve, and Andrea, who were willing to come on with us and calling in, and we really encourage anyone that's listening out there, maybe as a podcast, a day later or 2 days later, next time we hold one of these, we'd love it if you were able to set your schedule up so that you can join us and call in, because it really does make a difference for others out there.
All right. Well, that is that, ladies and germs. We will certainly talk to you soon, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the whole the advanced challenge.
Awesome.
Have a great day, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.